for coming. Today is the day after Shavuos, which by definition means a few things. Number one, most people in the world are tired. Shavuos of all the Yomim Tovim, it's 2 days, but it hits you like a week. Especially if you're up all night, eat a lot of cheesecake, meals, off timing, it takes a while to recover from a Shavuos. So a big thank you for everyone who's able to make it this morning. By us, the yeshiva starts later. The Beis Medrash starts on time, but the high school starts a little bit later. So that explains some people's tardiness. I entitled today's share, Hilchos Talmud Torah, From Sinai to Slabodka. And let me explain why, first of all, I picked this share, this topic. And the most specifically, we'll see why we picked these two spots on the map, Sinai and Slabodka. Now, look, it's right after Shavuos, and in a certain sense, the best day to capitalize on Talmud Torah is the day after Shavuos. Shavuos is a yontif, which brings with it a certain amount of inspiration that we have. We mark the date in our calendar when we, quote unquote, got married to the Torah, accepted the Torah, and, you know, to put it in modern terms, it's like the day after the Siyum HaShas. If we really got enough inspiration on Shavuos, a person should be impacted as if he was standing in a stadium with thousands upon thousands, tens of thousands, 100,000 Jews, and we're all dancing because we got and we learned the Torah. That's very inspiring. They're having an event, I believe, next Sunday in Philly, in their Lakewood, also celebrating Torah. When you go to a big event, you feel like supercharged. I want to do something. The amount of people that join the Daf Yomi learning after a big event, it's a big deal. They have these, even on the smaller scale, but it's still pretty big. You know, two competing big Daf Yomi shirim. This Eli Stefanski's Daf Yomi shir has become like the rage and a big event. He's on tour. He's like a rock band. He's going city to city, place to place, and he's filling up, okay, not stadiums, but shuls. In Borough Park, he filled up the old Bethel, shul with 1,400 people. It's a beautiful thing. When people are excited about Torah, the next effect usually is, okay, what could I do to add to that? And Shavuos, after the Yontif of Shavuos, it should be a Yontif that we walked away inspired, recharged, and we want to do something more. So probably a very good area to start is to review and go over some of the halachos of Talmud Torah. Now, the Hilchos Talmud Torah does appear in the Shulchan Aruch in Yeridea, but really the makor, the starting point for Hilchos Talmud Torah, first and foremost, is the Rambam. May Moshe Ad Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu in Har Sinai to Rav Moshe Maimon, the Rambam, first one to codify Hilchos Talmud Torah. That's first and foremost a good place to start. We also put in from Sinai to Slabodka. The Slabodka Yeshiva was a Musar Yeshiva, and they followed the breakthrough of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, who pushed the idea that people need Musar. People need to learn to rectify the character traits. Okay? What does that directly have to do with Torah? Okay, this most basic element there, Eretz, come to the Torah, and we'll see later, hopefully by the end of today's share, how Torah, Tikkun HaMidos, directly correlates with Limud HaTorah. But besides that, one of the interesting ideas Rabbi Sol Salanter pushed is the halachas that really apply are not just relegated to what was printed in the Shulchan Aruch. There are many, many other halachas. If you know how to derive things well from Gemara, from Chazal, there are much more halachas than that which was written inside the Shulchan Aruch. And in the Slabodka Yeshiva, they spent a lot of time proving these halachas, a lot of them outside the confines of the Al-Chalke Shulchan Aruch, a lot of them involve Beit HaMachavera. But it's true in Bani Olam L'Makom too, in Slabodka, using the methodology of Rabbi Sol Salanter, they were able to derive many additional halachas in Hilchos Talmud Torah in all areas. And I'd like to share some of those this morning too. One last point of introduction. I think it's very important. And I remember this, I might have told this story over because it never impacted me. It happened right here in Florida, in Miami. A follow bus, a person in the community, member asked me a shaila. He told me the following scenario. He was currently learning as part of a certain chabura in a shul, doing a certain limud. The specifics don't matter for the situation. And someone else was recruiting him to go to a different shir, to join a different group. And he sort of asked me the shaila, hey, you know, what's more important to learn? Now, it was actually a very good shaila. Actually a very good shaila. Should he be doing the first thing he currently was learning? He only has time for one. Or should he switch to this new group forming, doing a different limud? What ended up happening in that case, I believe I voiced my opinion, what I thought was more important. But he ended up, you know, he went to social pressure. You know, this organizer pushed more than his current organizer, seemed more exciting, they're serving a better spread. So he switched shiurim, he switched chaburas, and decided to learn Y over X. Lamaisa, I believe, the area of Talmud Torah, right? I could give the keys. Rachmiel. Okay. The area of Talmud Torah is just like any other area, if not in some ways more important. The same way a person asks questions when it comes to kashrus and when it comes to Hilchos Tefillah, a person should ask questions when it comes to Hilchos Talmud Torah. And it's major questions. The same way, Alan, someone would ask you, hey, should I invest my money in here or there? What's the big deal? Either way, I'm investing money. What's the big deal? Right? You're putting your money down. You want to get the best return. You want a shaky investment. You want something that's going to last. You want something which is potent, which is powerful. The same thing is true about Talmud Torah. It's so important to know Hilchos Talmud Torah, to learn what's important and what's less important in Talmud Torah. And the same way people ask shaylos about all these other areas, people should also ask questions when it comes to their individual learning. Yes?
Is this person's shaila really, is it okay for him to leave that magid shir and sort of insult him?
Yes, I think that, I do think that's part of it too. When he asked me that shaila, that was one of the things I was considering. Because it wasn't just a straight up Torah shaila, it's also a certain derech eretz, you're part of a group, to leave, right? Being poached, right? Yes?
This is more common than you might think. I actually had this shiva last night. I have a shir that I go to Wednesday nights, and I have a shir that I go to on Tuesday nights. The shir that I go to Wednesday nights, the Rav there approached me first to ask me if I was coming. But the shir that I go to on Tuesday nights scheduled itself later, but it was 2 hours instead of 1 hour. So I kind of committed to one, but the other one was a double. You know?
He has to go to either because it was Thursday night choice.
So, yes.
It's really which one hates the story more.
Which one has shaila?
You know, each of these things are a big shaila, and you're right. You had this question by you on Thursday night, on Shavuos night, people vying for your attendance. And a lot of these shirim, a lot of these chaburas, every person matters. You should never underestimate that. But at the same time, you know, especially if it's a longer term commitment, you're switching what you're doing, what you're learning, it's a big deal. Should I do Daf Yomi? Should I do Amud Yomi? Should I do Gemara? Should I do Halacha? There is more variations than flavors at Baskin Robbins. Trust me. And we need to know some important Halachas. So I want to start We'll start with the Rambam Hilchos Talmud Torah. On your sheets, the first Mar Malkom Aleph. This is Perik Aleph Halacha Ches. Kol Ish Me Yisrael, every Jewish man, Chai B'Talmud Torah, Ben Ani Ben Asher, whether he's a poor or whether he's rich. Ben Shom Begufo, whether he's healthy, unfortunately Ben Baal Yisurin. Unfortunately, he's sick, he's inflicted. Bein Bacher, whether you're young, Bein Zakin Shetach Shkocho, or he's an older man that lost his strength. Okay, now I would read the Rambam. Till now, he's throwing out contrasts. Now he's throwing in added chedushim. Afilu Ani Amatzar Psachim. Now he's going back to poverty, but he's delineating a bigger chiddush. Poverty. When I say someone's poor, I mean even someone who's poor, who's going door-to-door knocking, asking for money. That collector also has to sit and learn. Bechidish. He's going door-to-door, the guy's parnasi has no food. But at the same time, he too has a chiv of Talmud Torah. Yes?
I see this in shul when collectors come and they don't sit and daven when it's time to daven. They're so busy worrying about
it. It could be that they daven before or daven later, but you're right.
But not when they're at the first minute in the morning and then.
Well, I'm going through Hilchos Talmud Torah. We can talk about there might be Potter from davening. But now here's his biggest chiddush. So not just older people, people who are sick, people who have mamish no money, they're knocking door to door. Here's the biggest chiddush. Right? This the Rambam's writing it now in order of chiddushim. Afilu bal isho banim, even a married guy with kids. You hear that, Josh?
I heard it.
Even him.
I listened intently to that one.
Right? Reb Chanani just got married. The biggest chiddush. What's the biggest chiddush of someone responsible to sit and learn? Even a guy who has a wife and kids. Chayiv lekvozman l'talmud Torah b'yom v'layla. And many times it's very true. People, you know, a person gets married, the person has children, there are a lot of good excuses why you don't have time to learn. The Rambam is talking to that person. You who think that you have an excuse why not to learn, well, Maisa, Chiv Talmud Torah is for everybody, even in your situation. Yeah, you might have less time, but you have a responsibility to sit and learn. Yes.
What's the definition of bachur? Is that somebody who's magil
chinuch,
or somebody bar mitzvah aged?
Yeah, I assume bar mitzvah aged is a chiyuv.
Somebody with a
chiyuv. Yeah. Now, we're also nervous. You don't want to overdo things, you know. The person's younger, But so that's one basic halacha. Yes, we all have to learn. Next halacha. This is Rambam, Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Gimel. Halacha hey, on top of your sheets. Tchilas dino so adam. Okay? Obviously, we don't want to get there too soon. But after 120 years, a person comes up to Shemayim, and you meet the heavenly court. What do they talk to you about? What's the entrance exam on? Right? We know life is about passing tests. So is death. Right? You come up to Shemayim, Bezin Shalmala, Tchilas dino shel adam in a nidon el al Talmud. The Rambam says the first thing they're going to ask you is about your learning. The achakach al shamaisav. Afterwards, they'll ask about all your other actions. The Rambam is writing the first thing they're going to ask you is about Talmud Torah. Fikar amal chazal lo miyasek onam Torah bein l'shma bein l'shlo l'shma. Interesting. The Rambam ties this together with the idea a person could learn whether it's with good intentions or with not good intentions. Even doing it for not the best intentions. You're staying up all night to get the cheesecake. You're coming to a share for the donuts. Right? That's fine. Because once you start learning, you'll get into it. And ulterior motives are fine when it comes to Torah. But the first point the Rambam's saying, the big point, is more than anything else, first thing they're going to ask you, the Rambam says, Tchilas dino, is on Talmud Torah. And if you look, I actually quoted dear friend Rabbi Blezer, has a sefer on the Rambam Hilchos Talmud Torah, and he quotes here that this is the idea that the first step they ask you is Talmud Torah, is the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara in Kedushin. But there's a Gemara in Shabbos which seems to say different than that. The Gemara in Shabbos says the first thing they ask you is about your parnasa. Were you honest in business? So Tosas asks, make up your mind, stira. One place in the Gemara, it says the first question they're going to ask is Talmud Torah. Another place, is they're going to ask you is about business. Did you do business honestly or not? You want to answer Tosas' question? Why?
If you're not honest in business, then what are you doing? What is your Talmud Torah?
Okay, good. You're saying honesty in business should come first.
I'm not saying it should come first. I'm saying if you're not doing that, then what is your Talmud Torah?
Then your Talmud Torah doesn't count.
Yeah.
Okay, good, good, good. Amanas Lassos. Nice answer.
I would say it a little bit differently.
Yeah.
If you were busy with Talmud Torah, you would have learned how to be ethical in your business dealings.
Okay, good, good, good. Right? So two answers I heard, beautiful answers. People want to connect Talmud Torah and business. Very nice. I'll give you a third. Gleiser quotes something he heard b'shev der Shashiva of Neri Yisrael, Yaakov Moshe Kalevsky. A beautiful idea. It's actually, someone spoke about this in the Kollel on Shavuos night. The idea is a piece from Baruch Ber, that how exactly do you define when do I have time to learn? The Gisabo Yom Avalai, the mitzvah I have to learn every moment, every time. How do you define that? So Baruch Ber says, really bases it on the Gra, that the starting point is, look, obviously everyone has to have parnasa. We live in a world where it's not a Gan Eden, there's no mon. We have to work for ourselves and set aside time for parnasa, set aside time for other things too. So where does Talmud Torah come in? So Talmud Torah comes in after a person is doing the right amount of hishtadlus, the right amount of effort, investing in parnasa, investing in his family. The time around that, that's the time you have for Talmud Torah. So if you want to measure how much time did a person do a good job learning Torah, the first question really to ask is how did he do with his parnasa? Was he honest in his business? Did he set up? If you were spending extra time with your business, if a person was involved in shady business, well, that's not what you're supposed to be doing with your business. And the time you're involved in your shady business, not only is that an avera in terms of honesty, but it's also, then you should have been learning. The window for how much time a person has for Torah is relative to how much time he has for honest business and honest other needs. That's how he explains it. Very interesting idea. But what that translates to is, on the one hand, the Torah understands that it's not infinite. A person's moments that he has to learn, you can't put a gun to a person's head and say you have to learn every second of the day. No, there's a lot of things going on in people's lives. They may not have the ability to sit and learn every second of the day. They might have had a tough day at work, and they for some people, they might be able to go from work, from dinner, back to shul, back to a base medrash and learn. For others, they might need more time in between. Every person is different. So the first question is to ask, okay, did you do business honestly? Did you pursue that pursuit in the right way? And then around that, okay, how is your Torah learning? Okay. It gives a little cushion, but it still does make the focus of a person, major focus of a person's life, should be learning Torah. And in today's world, there's so many different ways to learn Torah. You can learn Torah, obviously, you know, we were blessed with Art Scroll. The revolution that Art Scroll has done, there are other English translations and books which do a wonderful job too, but Art Scroll is the brand name for success in this area. Art Scroll has opened up doors which are closed to people who are not able to learn because of the language barrier. And it's not just the language barrier, the sophistication, the style of a Gemara, where they're just, it's a flow of thoughts and the date, and you have to see where they're up to, where they're holding. Artswell does such a good job, not just translating, but giving over a playbook of the steps of what's going on in the Gemara. It's fantastic. And that's a resource. Nowadays, you have Torah anytime from one's computer, one's phone. They could have Shirim all the time. There was live streams, right? When I was by Rav Gamliel, he was recording the shir he was giving to us for Torah anytime. My guys are trying to find where in cyberspace is that shir that he recorded with us. But, you know, if they're putting little cameras into Mei Sharim to record Mekubalim, right? Torah's everywhere. There's no little Daud Amos of the world you can't access today and connect with the Torah. And it's all at our disposal. And there's such a smorgasbord of different things out there. Speakers for men, speakers for women, everything, kids, older people, so many different areas that a person should be able to find some medium, some way that they connect with learning. Yes?
There's also some Sunday morning shirim that are given live and in person that enhances the shirim.
Okay. I'll give the plug. They say there's some Sunday morning share given here in North Miami Beach live. Yeah, the live share is better than the recording. Right? You can't get all the jokes. Right? It's not the same.
No, no,
but, seriously, 100%. It's very true.
Regarding these two, yeah. These two questions that we're going to be asked.
Yes.
After 120 minutes of show, how do we then deal with one thing, first of all, Yisachar Zebulun, and smaller elements of Yisachar Zebulun.
Yes.
As well as how do we deal with things like Tanach Bonim, and you know the just whatever it is, be it either your own children or you know, people heavily involved in Kiruv and getting you know doing that.
Yeah. So let me give you. Yeah. He asked two different questions. I'll answer your first one first. I was actually going to get to there. But they bring down, the one source I have is Rav Huttner uses a Gemara in Sota that the schos that a person gets, and this is another avenue, and it's important to mention, that besides a person directly learning Torah, when a person supports Limud HaTorah, you don't just get a mitzvah of tzedakah or a mitzvah of chesed. You actually get a mitzvah of Limud HaTorah. In a certain sense, a person who supports Torah is learning Torah. And that's a very big deal. In general, in the hierarchy of causes, Torah trumps Chesed. It's important to give to Hatzalah and the High Lifeline and to all these wonderful organizations. And a person shouldn't forsake them, especially if they have connections. But Torah, in general, is in the higher rank. But besides the fact it's a higher cause, it's a greater calling, but you get credit for Talmud Torah when you support Torah. Yes?
Another answer to your first question. Rabbi Shapiro often says, how come we, if you go to work all day, you make the bracha on Torah, you go to work all day, when you start learning at night, you don't have to make another bracha. Because
excellent.
If you're honest in business, then you're involved in Torah all the time.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yes. You have to make a new
brother. But if you give a lot of money to support yeshivas, yeah. So people are sitting and learning, you still have to have some time that you're learning yourself. It doesn't totally.
Correct. Change. Correct. You, even if you're supporting Torah, you have to do the own learning Torah. But yeah. Alan, you're right. We don't make another bracha. 100%. We don't. Even if you're involved, because that's really the ideal. The ideal is whatever you're doing is for Torah, and it's part of Torah, and that's still. That's still practically you call that on the person's mind. Yes.
Does a woman have a
excellent question.
And it's,
really, a woman in Talmud Torah, and for those watching at home, really deserves his own share. The simple answer is a woman does not have a chiv of Talmud Torah. A woman has a responsibility to learn the halachos that are nogea to herself, that pertain to herself. it doesn't mean a woman shouldn't be inspired and, you know, look for shiurim that inspire her 100%. That's for sure a mitzvah. No question about it. But the v'gisabo yom v'layla, men have to sit in kol, women don't. Now, depends how much it costs. But, yeah.
Pretty straightforward answer then.
I tried that battle, but I think I lost. I was pleasantly surprised. I was very impressed. But, okay, I'll show you another interesting idea. If you look at Oz Dalid by Mizmor David, it's really based on the Rambam Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Gimel, Halach Yud Gimel. In a maspek lomad Torah harbe, it's not enough for a person to learn a lot of Torah. You could spend a lot of time, you could do the daf twice during the day, you could do other learning. A person has to make sure, ideally, they only even lose out one night. The Torah become part of them. I think we once gave a shiur, look in the archives, about the mitzvah of learning Torah at night. So we could, this whole topic is elaborated there. But the concept is, it's v'gisabo yomam v'layla. You should learn Torah day at night. Like in a certain sense, right? If a person just says, look, I'll set aside time in the morning, not for Torah learning. A person should make sure to have, okay, you want to do the bulk of your learning during the day in the morning, but put aside the same way we eat, you know. You're not going to say, I do breakfast, I'm not going to do dinner. I do lunch, I'm not going to do dinner. No, the same way our body needs nourishment both day and night, so too a person's neshama needs connection with Torah both day and night. And really the commitment of learning at night is a big deal. And it, in some ways, it's a very big challenge. Now, here in Florida, it's not as intense up in New York, up in the Northeast. You know, a person living in New York, New Jersey, literally every single night, they could have a wedding, a vort, a bar mitzvah, a parlor meeting. There's something going on every single night.
An annual dinner.
Yeah. Here, we're a little bit spared. We're not living that busy lifestyle just yet. And we hope it stays that way and stays out of town here. That part of in town we don't need. But it's a big challenge within all these quote unquote social obligations for a person to carve out time. When are you going to learn at night? A night seder. It's a beautiful thing. Now that you know, as yeshivas, Baruch Hashem, get stronger and stronger, the concept of like a night seder, you know, the kid's like, hey, well, come on, I learned all day. Can you make me learn again at night? Right, Chaim? Sounds like a good time. But the pshat is, and maybe this should be articulated better, Talmidim should understand this, is part of chinuch, over bar mitzvah, too, is that you have to learn at night. And it doesn't matter how many hours you spend during the day, you should carve out time on your schedule at night to learn. Yes?
And once you brought up all those, I guess we're calling them social obligations.
Yes.
How to fit learning into those.
Or is that a separate chair? Yeah, it's a separate chair. And, you know, you could find time at a wedding sometimes to sneak away and learn. Rabbi Luban has such a beautiful picture that was going, they say, viral. Rabbi Luban was Masada Kedushin at a wedding in Baltimore just a couple of weeks ago. But he also has this chair that he gives every night online via Zoom. He gives a chair to a whole collection of people, most of them who work. Every single night, Rabbi Luban gives a share Sunday through Wednesday. And he was at this wedding. Rabbi Luban took with him his computer, sat in the hallway of this hotel that the wedding was taking place. And there's Rabbi Luban giving his share at basically the regular set time because he can't miss a night. He had to be Masada Kedushin at a wedding. Okay. He fit the share around the wedding schedule after the chuppah. He sat down to give the share.
He gave it during the photography.
Yes, he did it during the pictures. Well, someone took a great picture of him.
Just one more picture.
Yes. I'll give you another halacha, which I think is a beautiful halacha. And recently I heard someone make a comment about this. And I think it hit me. The bottom it says, Tzorech Lumunim Chavrusa V'lo Rak Aide Atzma. Chaim Shmulevitz proves this from a Gemara in Sota. But a person should learn with Chavrusa and not just by oneself. And the basic idea behind that is if you're learning by yourself, you can miss things, you misunderstand things. When you have a Chavrusa, when you're learning one-on-one with somebody else, so it takes two to tangle, and your Chavrusa can spar with you and he can correct you. And if you're misunderstanding something, usually you'll hear it from the voice across the table.
That's not what he's there for.
Uh-huh. He's going to keep you awake?
Yes.
Okay, that too. I was going above that level, but you're right. Sometimes he's down with the Gemara on the couch.
My Chavrusa has smacked me over the head before.
So, right.
Important.
So I learned Daf with real clear Daf. So does that count like sort of like a...
So that's a very interesting thing. Yeah. You know, with a share, even online, yeah, you're not doing it by yourself. You're doing it with something else. I think that's very good. I would agree with Harvey that one layer above something online, something digital, is the live person sitting across from you, because you have Josh's point. What's the difference? Because they don't come yet out of the screen to hit you over the head. That you only have live. Right? Kicking under the table is more Derech Eretz.
Was a more spouse-oriented.
Sure. But I'll tell you something I heard from somebody, and it hit me. It was very interesting. I heard from a Baal Bus in this neighborhood the following quote. He said, it was an older person. He says, you know, I spent a lot of years going to the rabbi's classes and stuff. But he said of himself, you know, I found many times I'll doze off. I never took advantage, never knew what it meant to learn with a chavrusa. You know, depending on the person's yeshiva background, okay, if you went to yeshiva, you know, right, especially older grades, Beis Medrash, you know what it means to learn with a chavrusa. But it's very possible people could go through years of Jewish schooling, never had the ability to learn one-on-one with another person, the chavrusa. Right, in Harvard, they're not sitting and learning the chavrusa. Maybe they have little think tanks. But the concept of learning with a chavrusa is a Jewish concept, is a yeshivish concept. It's part and parcel of Limud HaTorah, is learning with a chavrusa. And Harvey, this Baal HaBos said to me, it still hit me. He said, I spent all these years falling asleep at the rabbi's shir. When I made a chavrusa, this person happened to say, in the kolo, he said, it changed my life. Because I'm learning one-on-one with another person, just the Torah went in on just a different level. And it's a nice idea. You know, a person, you know, there's not one venue here in Florida to make that happen, but the concept of making a chavrusa could be another friend. Hey, let's learn together. Right? I think it's a beautiful thing. Dr. Ben and Dr. Fox, right? They're neighbors. They're also chavrusas. They sit and learn with each other. It's a great thing. On my block away from me, Rabbi Blinder learns with Mr. Berry. The chavrusas, he comes by the yeshiva once a week to learn. The concept of finding a chavrusa, finding somebody, it could be a father and son too, right? But having a chavrusa is just a different layer, different level of connecting to Limud HaTorah, and that's something that's kedai to invest in, right? Even to pay good money for it. I'll pay good money to get a chavrusa. Right? Harvey, Rav Gamliel would offer you a chavrusa. Kanela chavrusa. Buy for yourself a friend. Right? This is the ultimate friend to buy. Good vort. One last 2 points. Tell your wife. One last area I came across. It's an amazing thing. When it comes to Limud HaTorah, there's a famous idea, you got the Matzasi Tamen. Different than any other intellectual pursuit, any other science, Torah you gain through hard work. You're gati umatzasi. Only after a person invests hard work do you get Torah. Right? That's the ikar. The main thing Hashem wants is for us to invest effort to try to understand Torah. Look, if we get it, great. If we don't get it, we invested the effort. That's the mitzvah. And a lot of understanding in Torah comes with it that it's a schus. If you invest the effort, then Hashem will bless you. The thought pops into your mind. The Havana, the understanding gets there. So the simple way that we understand what schus do you need to understand Torah is the work, the effort that it takes to learn. Included in that is also the Mesiras Nefesh, not just the effort. I could show from Shiva Zatzal had a proof to this concept that a certain Amora reflected. He was walking with a friend. He says, you see this house? I used to own that house. But I sold it so I could have more time. I could invest more into learning. Passes another house. And Talmud says to him, I feel bad. Like, he used to own a lot. And now you don't have it. He says, no. To me, it was all worth it. Because I traded that in for Torah. I traded in my chips. But look what I got. I was able to learn. That's also a tremendous schos. A person who invests, right? A person who supports Torah. That's a schos for Limud HaTorah too. Sure. But I'll show you two other areas I came across, which is quite interesting. Rabbi Aaron Cutler has a chiddush, and so others too, really stems back to the Altar of Slobodka, that a person who works, and this is one of the areas was brought up, we began with, a person who works on Tikkun HaMidos, on becoming a better person, a better husband, a better father, a better neighbor, a better friend. That investment in becoming a better person is also a schus to understand Torah better. Gemara has a case of where a Rebbe forgot his Torah learning, and he knew his Talmud remembered it, right? We get older, we forget things, but our Talmud's still sharp. He remembers, he can remind me what I said. So normally, the procedure would be for the Rebbe to ask the Talmud to come to him. Gemara has a case where Avimi went to his Talmud to please remind me. And the reason why the Rebbe went to the Talmud, the Gemara says, was for Anava, to work on himself. And it's mashpa from there that he gets the schos of Yigati Matzasi. Similarly, I found years ago, there's a Gemara in Kedushin that talks about Kibud Av V'Em. Right after that, the Gemara talks about a drasha that one of the Amoraim had. And it's clear from the Chazal, he was zocha to that understanding because he fulfilled the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em. I don't know if this applies to mitzvahs in general, but specifically the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em, right? Some tikkun HaMidos sometimes involved in that too. But a person dedicating himself to Kibud Av V'Em is also a schus, which allows a person to understand Torah better. So it's not just the effort invested sitting by Gemara, by your real clear daf, trying to understand, okay, what's this funny case in Gittin? What's this funny case in Yevamos, Baba Basra, Shabbos, whatever it is? No, there are other elements which add to a person's Limud HaTorah, whether it's his Sechus of supporting Torah, his Mesiras Nefesh for Torah, his Tikkun HaMidos, his Kibud Av V'Em. These are all factors for a person achieving success in learning. I want to just end with a story. You know, there's so many stories of people who, quote unquote, took up Limud HaTorah at later dates. One of the famous drashas Rabbi Fran gave at a Sima Shas. It's never enough. I think there's three. It's never. But the last line he says, never too late. A person could pick up learning at any age and any situation, and especially, as we mentioned before, in our generation when there's so much available. One of the inspiring stories I remember from one of the last Sima Shasas was a friend of mine who's, you know, I remember his father talking about his yeshiva years when I was growing up. You know, he didn't look back with a sense of nostalgia, you know. He rightfully, unrightfully so, you know, probably got beaten up by the Rebbeim. And, you know, in that age, who knew, you know, you had the early years in America, you had European Rebbeim and American kids, wasn't exactly the best mix. And, you know, the many, what you call, quote unquote, carbonos. And this person for years, you know, was not connected to learning. He was an avid sports fan, but wasn't connected to learning. And but you know, as time goes on, and you know, negative feelings fall off a little bit by the wayside, and your kids are in yeshiva and they're being successful and they're learning. So okay, literally, makes you turn over a new page. And that's what the person did. He started learning Gemara. A new page, got himself an art scroll, and started learning time and time again. I remember the person saying with pride, he said, I've come to MetLife, Medline Stadium, to watch football games, but now I'm coming there, you know, to watch and be a part of a siyum of Lumet Torah. And really, you just look around the world, may Arba Kanfos Aretz. It's so inspiring to see people from all spectrums of Yiddishkeit getting more and more involved in Lumet Torah at any level, at any age, at any level where they're holding their Yiddishkeit is really, truly inspiring. And we should take this inspiration from Shavuos to recommit ourselves for Lumet Torah, to understand Hilchos Talmud Torah, to ask Shailos about Torah, and Bez Hashem, we should continue to climb the ladder of more and more Torah learning to be part of our lives. Thank you very much. Thank you for coming to this Torah class.